This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everyone. This is Greg Gazin, and we have an exciting guest today. Our guest is Natalie Torres-Haddad. She's a financial literary workshop facilitator, brand collaborator, and an award-winning author for her book, Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. And she's also known as hashtag Financially Savvy Latina. She's a first-generation graduate and part of the 4% of Latinos with a master's degree in the U.S. Her activities have been covered in a number of major media outlets, including the Toastmasters magazine. Natalie was featured in the member profile section in the May 2017 edition for a number of her initiatives, including starting LA's Prom Closet. She also passionately teaches and speaks to other Latinos about education and financial literacy and draws from her personal experience to help others reach their financial and educational goals. Natalie loves learning about other cultures and has traveled to over 30 countries. She's been a member of Toastmasters for 3.5 years. She's an advanced communicator silver. She's with the Compton Elite Communicators in South LA, and she's working towards her first Distinguished Toastmaster, which she expects to have by December of 2017. She also has aspirations of becoming the first Latina accredited speaker by 2018. Natalie Torres-Haddad, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Greg. I'm really excited to be here.
It's my pleasure. I read the profile and I was just absolutely amazed as to how many things were there. But I'm going to open up with the end in mind. The article closes with, "I am a product of my community. And if I don't give back to it, then I don't expect someone else to have those same opportunities." Please share with our listeners a little bit about that. And what did you mean by that?
Yes, I think that's something I know I do my best to live by. I say I'm a product of my community because everything that I am today, whether the good, the bad, the challenges, it's really made because of who I was surrounded by. All my successes, my accomplishments are because of my family and the mentors, people like Toastmasters as well, that have really taken the time to mentor me, to help me, especially with a lot of the challenges I've had growing up and still.
What were some of those challenges?
Some of those challenges, as you mentioned, I'm from LA. So for those that aren't familiar with it, I actually was born in El Salvador and raised here. My family left during a civil war and we ended up living in Inglewood, California. And for those that aren't familiar with it, it's definitely a place where poverty or challenges of money is definitely a big factor. And I also lived during a time before the LA riots. So for me, that was a major social impact that I saw. As a child, I was only 12 years old when that was happening. I remember just seeing some of the local mom and pop shops burnt to the ground. I saw grown men and women upset and crying, frustrated with what was going on and not understanding what that really meant. I also learned something very powerful then too, in terms of not knowing what was going on socially around me. I also understood that I could do something about this. I can be either part of a solution. I can be part of something that my community needs. I loved where I lived growing up as a kid. And when things like that, terrible things like that happen, it can really affect the way you see every day. So for me, I felt I could choose to live in that type of, you could say, darkness or just horrible times at the time that was happening. And instead, I sought out and looked in the good of it. And I looked at what people were doing and being a voice for their community. So I felt I really had that opportunity to be part of that.
Obviously, you've decided that you were going to be an agent of change instead of just looking at the negative side of things. And one of them was LA's Prom Closet. I'm curious about that.
Yes, that was something that, like I said, times of darkness, we just don't know where they really take us. And for me at the time, I was going through a very difficult time. I've shared this with other people, especially in Toastmasters too, through my speeches. You know, right out of college, you have this all of a sudden a new life, right? Life after college is very different. And at the same time, I had just come home from my fourth funeral in less than 2 months. Ugh, I could tell you, I've never felt so sad and really depressed for the first time in my life. And it was obviously unexpected. And it's all those emotions that come with it being, you know, depressed and frustrated, not knowing what to do. I have to tell you, I still remember just being in my room crying, not knowing how to stop it, you know. And it's just, I always tell people, it's those ugly cries that you remember where you're just like, oh, get be done with this, right? I remember looking up and seeing my closet was wide open, and it was also a mess. I had stuff everywhere. I had clothes from way too long ago. I mean, I could tell you, I remember taking out Halloween costumes that were probably 10 years old, and chances are I would never be a pirate again. And I came across a dress, and a few dresses actually. One of them happened to be my prom dress. And I thought, well, if I can help someone else and maybe they would enjoy the dress the way I did. I actually bought mine in a thrift store. So it only cost me about $12. And then I paid like an additional $18 to get it fixed because I had this huge hole on the bottom of the dress. And I thought, well, I'm sure there's people out there that, or girls out there that need a dress for prom. And prom is really expensive, especially here in LA. It can average out hundreds of dollars. And during the time we had just happened to have the market crash. So a lot of people were, money was tight and a lot of people were losing homes, all these things that were happening. So I called a few of my friends. I told them I had this idea. What if we get all our dresses together and help five girls go to prom? What we thought was going to be a one-time event ended up not being a one-time event. We ended up helping over 45 girls our first time. And people are like, you're going to do this again every year? We're like, we'll do our best. And we kept doing it. It kept growing. And we served at least over 1,000 girls. And we've helped other organizations start their own prom closets. And it's really been such a beautiful experience that I was part of. And it really came from a place that at the time I felt like would never end. I never, at that time, I was so sad. I had no idea what to do with that energy. And lucky for me, I felt it was a good way to give back. And I always felt I always had that type of support with my family and friends giving me in so much way. So I kind of felt it was just, it was the best way to do that. And it really, really worked out. I was lucky.
So from there, you saw obviously some other opportunities because as you elaborate in the profile, you offer education and financial literacy for people.
Yeah. So we made it a fun event. So it wasn't just free prom dress giveaways. It was financial literacy workshops and college admission workshops, etiquette workshops, and even how to do your own makeup, fun stuff like that. And financial literacy has been a big focus for me. I've been not just an advocate for it, but it's just dealing with everyday budgeting, and especially for college students, that's such a hot topic for us in the States, where college tuition is so incredibly expensive. And if you're going to grad school as well, that definitely adds up your student loan debt. And so being able to share my stories, my experiences, as well as, you know, helping students understand that one, student debt doesn't have to be forever, and you don't have to necessarily get in it, and knowing how to manage that is very helpful and empowering. That's something I always come across with students. They say, well, I don't know how I'm going to do this. How can I even, my parents have never dealt with debt, let alone student debt. And that's something that I felt I can share my mistakes and what has helped me along the way. And there isn't many books out there or many people talking about that. It's usually almost the opposite. They're like, you know, they're definitely ready to tell us, oh, you're doing it wrong, or don't get into student debts. But really what happens when you're already in it? How do you deal with it? And as a millennial, that's something I always hear. And I feel we should be supported or giving some advice instead of feeling ashamed for being in student debt. You know, we went to school for something better than that. So yeah, that's something I also am a big firm advocate for.
Obviously, you learned this at a young age, because in the profile, it mentions that while others were off paying off student loans and deep in debt, you were actually buying a property. So at what point did you start to realize, or I assume you self-educated yourself in this area?
Yeah, well, you know, it was a combination of things. I have 2 degrees in business. One is in finance and international business. However, they don't really teach us how to deal with money. They teach us how to read financial statements, but not necessarily how to balance and budget it. And so I attended a lot of conferences, I read all the time. I read tons of books. And I also have the fortunate of meeting great people that are financially independent and definitely have been mentoring me through the process. And when I first bought my first property, that's something that I really had to learn. It was a habit. It was different skills, different way of thinking, and really having certain sacrifices here and there, you could say, when it came to budgeting, but being aware of that there is a bigger dream or a bigger goal out there instead of the immediate gratifications. It was a combination of school experiences and people that I've come across that have really taught me valuable lesson. Oh, and I have to share I remember one of my Toastmasters meeting. It was another club that I went for, an open house. This gentleman gave me some great advice, and he says, "I've had my car for about 30 years. Everyone still makes fun of me because I drive this little hunk of car, but it works well. Basically, hasn't had a car payment in 30 years." And he's like, "With that, I've had so many opportunities to do other things with that." And I think I was barely like 23 when I heard that. And I thought, that's really smart. Why not do something like that to do what you want to do with other things instead of being so caught up in a brand new car or whatever it needs to be?
So he's laughing his way all the way to the bank then.
Exactly. Great advice.
You mentioned Toastmasters, and that's a perfect segue. Maybe share with us how did you discover Toastmasters?
I was part of a Hispanic Student Business Association on campus, and one of my friends was reading How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And I've heard other people talk about that book, and then they said, "You should really think about looking into the organization Toastmasters." I've never heard of that at that one point, and I said, "You know, that'd be really great." And I looked for a place. I just graduated from college. Oh, I was, yeah, about to graduate from college, and I found a place near my work that had an open, you didn't have to be part of that company. And I said, perfect, I'm gonna go and see what the meeting's about. And granted, everyone there was much older than me, very educated, just wonderful people. And it was very intimidating at first, but they were very endearing. And I said, you know what? I really wanna be a better public speaker. I wanna be a better communicator and definitely build some of those skills that I felt I was still lacking. And I ended up joining, I think, within after maybe the second or third meeting. And since then, I'm always telling people you have to join this if you really want to work on those skills. And for me, Toastmasters has been a very, very influential part of my life.
It seems funny that you seemed intimidated because looking at your history and even having a conversation before we started the recording, it sounds like if you did all of these facilitations and you did this workshop and you're very bubbly and open, and it's like, I just can't seem to picture you intimidated.
You know, that's funny. People say that to me all the time too, and I have to be honest, yeah, I've never been really a shy person, but when it comes to talking in front of a large group, let alone Toastmasters or people that know what a professional speaker should look like, it can be very intimidating. And I've spoken in front of hundreds of people, and at one time, right, you're just like, I don't know, I get in this sense of mode that I've learned through practicing in Toastmasters, doing those speeches. And even my first icebreaker, I remember how nerve-wracking it was. And I just had a friend who called me last week to help him go through his first icebreaker. And he's a very confident, well, successful man. And I was laughing, thinking, that's how I felt. And I told him the same. I go, don't worry about it. I know it's almost nerve-wracking when you know people are going to judge you because they know what to look out for, like the fillers, right? The the ahs, or the pronunciation of something. I go, but if anything, you're just learning to tell your story and you're going to find better ways to do it. And it was a really, not only a very endearing environment, but everyone was gave me some great constructive criticism in a way that I felt, you know what, my next speech is going to be better. I'm going to take that into consideration. And with years of practice, it's really paid off.
In the article, you say you actually credit Toastmasters specifically with helping you reach your personal goals and building your career. How does that fit into it? What were some of the things? What were some of the elements?
my first icebreaking speech, and I have my manual somewhere. I remember explaining, you know, people who I am. That's what the icebreaker is for them to get to know you. And I listed things that I wanted to accomplish in the next 30 years. And I was, you know, I'm in my early 20s, and everyone around me in my group were my parents' age. These were engineers, these were really educated people, and it was very intimidating. But I remember even saying, I want to visit 80 countries by the time I'm 80. And I remember like people looking at me like, this girl dreams really big and is probably really naive or whatever it might be that was going through their heads. But it was so great to say it out loud, and to be able to say that out loud is, I think, one of the most powerful things a person can do. And in a way where I remember my first speech, really, I talked about some of those goals, even starting a nonprofit, or what was the other one I had? Yeah, buying my first place. At the time, I hadn't bought one yet. I had, I think, at least 10 items that I remember. Luckily for me, most of them I did. And I think it was part of being able to not only communicate that to others, but it's important, right? Especially for work, for when you're trying to get funding, when you're looking for a place, all that fun stuff that goes all the work that goes into it, really. But it's being able to communicate that effectively, and I think that's something that I still remember being able to say that out loud to complete strangers can be very out of my comfort zone, but it was also very empowering.
Now, your vice president of education is quoted in the story referring to you as an excellent storyteller. How do you use storytelling to help with the educational and financial literacy?
Making it real and personal. I think storytelling is about being yourself, being raw as well, being honest about the challenges and things that we have to overcome in order for people to really connect. So storytelling for me is a way of just saying, hey, I'm a real person. This is what I went through too. It's so hard to connect when someone tells you something very generic, saying, hey, you can do it too, right? And so for me, I always feel if I explain to them, you know what, I didn't have it that easy, or I came across this and had to figure out a way to get through it. And I feel that's a good way to connect to your audience, especially, I mean, and this happens all the time when I'm teaching a class or doing a workshop, that students and anyone, we tend to have a thousand things going through our minds, right? And being able to keep them listening to you through every second is very difficult. But being able to say, hey, do you remember how that felt? Or did you ever go through something this difficult that you felt you would never get out of it? And then somehow play that into the importance of, financial literacy, or, pursuing your dream or pursuing higher education. It makes it a lot more attainable for them. And I think it just feels like I'm talking to a friend. And I think that's one of the biggest compliments I get afterwards, where people saying, thank you for sharing that. Even though after I'm thinking, why did I share that? They're probably going to think I was crazy, or why did I do that? And I tell you, those are the things that I usually get the most compliments on. A couple of weeks ago, I did a keynote, and that's something that I shared with the students, talking about, it was college students that are about to graduate, and talking about, one of my difficult times right after college. And a few of them right after came on, the first thing they said, thank you for talking about being scared and having this pressure and this depression, because that's stuff that we're going through. And I thought, oh my gosh, I was thinking, why did I keep that in the speech? And once again, I think they say it's part of being honest and being who you are, and not being able to be ashamed of what made me who I am today. So I always appreciate that when people say that. It's part of storytelling.
It makes it real. I know people like to hear your successes, but also they also want to find out how you overcame adversity or overcame failure. Or sometimes you might be in a situation where something didn't go quite right and it hasn't been fixed yet, but you're certainly working on it.
Yes.
It sounds like what you're doing with your educational and financial literacy is you're showing people that, here, I've been there, I've done that, and you're using the stories, your real life experiences to hammer it home.
Yes, and that's exactly what it is. Being able to bring it back to being real. Yeah, I totally agree.
It's very inspiring. Now, of course, you can't be everywhere and anywhere, so you've put together a book, and it's called Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. Is that really possible? Tell us about the book.
Yes. So it's funny. I always get this. They're like, 20 minutes. Well, the idea came about, and this is why I was like, I said, it's all about taking our experience and rolling with it. At the time, I was teaching a financial literacy course. It's a class they have to take in order to exit college. It's an exit loan, right? So dealing with their student debt that they've acquired. And I was having a dinner with a few friends, and they were talking about their challenges, being recent graduates. And I'm thinking, they're asking me the same questions these students are asking me. And what if I can create something together that helps them have a few tips that they can read? And I have to tell you, it took me months to write, and it ended up being like this really thick thing. And I'm thinking, they're not going to read this. I've already told them to read all these amazing other books that they're not reading. So how can I do this to a fact where I can give them at least a few tips, at least five very valuable things that have helped me to get out of debt and deal with, having a normal life pretty much. And so I came up with the concept where if they're riding on the metro, or they have a few minutes before class, literally they could do this in 20 minutes and sit down and just read. And it's really like a guidebook that has a few examples dealing with student loans, credit card debt, because I was definitely part of a generation where there was people literally waiting outside of our classrooms ready to give us credit cards if you signed up for a free t-shirt, And so it's ridiculous, but it's definitely something that we had to unfortunately deal with. And so I thought, you know, if I can do something like this, and luckily for me, that guidebook has helped so many others. I remember even I had written it out for my fellows college graduates and millennials. And I had one of my favorite stories was this lady after the workshop, she came up to me and said, she's much older than me, but she said, my daughter's in college, so I've had her read this. And I saw her again a year later at another workshop, and she said she had gotten out of like $30,000 worth of debt. And I thought that was awesome. It really is something that I think is empowering. When we start off with the little tips here and there, it's just like when you're trying to lose weight, right? You don't want to cut everything out, but you have to really start with at least, okay, incorporating more fruits and vegetables and finding better habits that are going to be healthier for you. And so that's kind of what said, you know what, if I can give them a few tips to help them start in a better direction, it's easier for them to take on. And it's just like learning a new language. For me, I am bilingual. So I remember you don't want to learn A through Z in one day. You can't. It's just too overwhelming. But if you start off with one letter, the letter A, then everything else can come little by little. And that's part of what Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes is just at least giving them a little, like, learn this and it's not that hard. And then everything else you can coat little by little.
Looking at all of the accomplishments you have in your profile, I understand that you have some news that came about after the article had gone to press.
Yes. This is actually something that's been in play for the past 5 years. One of the exciting news is co-founding this company. It's called I'll Brag For You, and exciting that we're launching in July and being able to be a voice for people. So our mission is to help you break through the glass ceiling. And I'll Brag For You is just what it sounds like. Let me explain. It's a website where people can post great accomplishments of their friends. And the reason why I say that is because it's so difficult for us to talk about accomplishments. You know, even when you're reading my bio, if my face is getting red, you know, I'm already getting embarrassed. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, because it's so weird. And our families, our cultures, and our society teach us to be humble, which is a great value, right? But at the same time, it doesn't help us when we're trying to get that promotion or we're trying to let people know, you know what, this was a really big deal. It was very difficult to get. And I come across way too many people, especially women too, that, you know, maybe they just got their doctorate or they just organized this incredible event. And when you ask them and they're like, oh yeah, it was nothing. It's like, no, it's a huge deal. So I'll Brag For You is just that concept where let's just say I'm really impressed what Greg did. He did this awesome podcast. I'm going to post that and something fun. Or so-and-so just graduated, you know, exactly. And it highlights what you're doing. And we need more of that too. It provides this sense of community, a lot empowerment for everybody. And who doesn't like to shout out, like we say, or brag about our friends that are doing amazing things. And it can be in such a professional format too, as opposed to all these other sites that are out there. But this can be something like fun. Hey, so-and-so ran a marathon, or this person organized this weekend event that helped, you know, local homeless people in the area. And, you know, just those are things that we do want to hear about. And I know a lot of companies are always, especially when they're hiring, they're asking you, what's the most significant thing you've done or accomplishment? And it's so hard to just say, well, if I mention this, it doesn't really have anything to do with the company, right? So that's a good way for them to be able to go on and say, oh, you know what, so-and-so has been saying great things about Greg, or so-and-so has been saying great things about Natalie. And I think it's just a fun way to do it, very simple. And it's just something that people can just go on and be like, yeah, I'm going to brag about someone. And if there's someone that doesn't want to brag, we'll have that page at the end that says you can rag on them. just as a joke.
Not as much fun.
Not as much fun. But the exciting thing is the people we're working with and the co-founders too. One of them is currently an amazing, amazing, outstanding junior in college. And the other, she's a Harvard graduate. And it's just, you know, those are the people that I love being around, that they love to empower their community. And literally, they're the products of their communities giving back. So it's really exciting to be able to share that.
Is there a main website?
The website will be launched July, which is exciting. It's I'llBragForYou.com.
That's excellent. And I'm sure after listening to this podcast, a lot of people are going to be bragging for you.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Perhaps you can let us know, besides that you had mentioned I'll Brag For You, how can people reach you if they want to get a hold of you?
The best way they can reach me, they can find me on Instagram as Financially Savvy Latina. And you can also email me directly at financiallysavvylatina@gmail.com.
Natalie Torres-Haddad, thank you so much once again for being on the show. And it sounds like you've certainly made a difference to many people out there. And it sounds like you're well on your way to your Distinguished Toastmaster designation, and all the best in working towards your accredited speaker designation as well.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And once again, it's been a pleasure to be a voice, and most of all, also a voice for Toastmasters too. Thank you. Yes, you made it fun.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.